This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Welcome to Real Christianity with Pastor and Theologian Dr. Magna Retief.
If you have a Bible with you, please turn your Bibles with me to the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 98. And we'll be reading the whole of Psalm 98. As we read these words, remember they're inspired by God the Holy Spirit and come with the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The Holy Spirit says through the psalmist, "Sing a new song to the Lord, for He has done wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown His saving power. The Lord has announced His victory and has revealed His righteousness to every nation. He has remembered His promise to love and be faithful to Israel. The ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Sing your praise to the Lord with the harp and melodious song, with trumpets and the sound of the ram's horn. Make a joyful symphony before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it shout His praise. Let the earth and all living things join in. Let the rivers clap their hands in glee. Let the hills sing out their songs of joy before the Lord. For He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with justice and the nations with fairness." The Word of the Lord. Today is the seventh and final message in my series, Songs of Praise, What the Psalms Teach Us About Praising God. The book of Psalms is often referred to as the song book of the people of Israel. Yet the Psalms not only played a crucial role in the faith and worship of the nation of Israel, but they also had and continue to have a tremendous impact on the faith and worship of the followers of Jesus. Of course, as I've said before, Jesus Himself and His earliest followers knew the Psalms by heart. Yes, the Psalms formed the song book Jesus Himself used during His time on earth. It does make sense, a lot of sense, that the early church also adopted the Psalms as the song book of the church. We find this appreciation for the Psalms in the modern day church as well. When you think about it, many of the songs we sing in church today are either based on the Psalms or inspired by the Psalms. And although the Psalms have been somewhat neglected in contemporary praise and worship in recent times, the fact is they've played such a crucial role in the worship of the church throughout the centuries. Although many Christians have some sense of the importance of the Psalms in their worship of God, it seems to me like many don't really understand why the Psalms are so important for our faith. And that's why I've decided to do this series. In fact, I would argue that many Christians, when they read the Psalms, pray the Psalms, sing the Psalms, often miss some important dimensions of what the Psalms are trying to teach us about praising God. And, you know, we overlook these dimensions because many of us fail to appreciate the significance of the various Hebrew terms for praise used in the Psalms and the theological implications of those terms. So, Old Testament scholar Robert D. Bell highlights seven dimensions of praise in the Psalms that deepen our understanding of what it means to praise God. Of course, there are more things that could be said about praising God in the Psalms, but these seven dimensions Bell highlights provide a solid foundation for understanding and practicing praise according to the Psalms. During the Songs of Praise series, we're looking at each of these dimensions of praise in greater detail. As I've said a number of times throughout this series, I believe we're living in times where it's more important than ever for us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, to get our focus right. You see, it's when we start praising God, when we start focusing on His glory, when we remind ourselves again and again about His sovereignty over all things, that's when we start to look at the world around us in the right perspective. The practice of praising God through the Psalms helps us to gain that biblical, God-centered perspective we so seriously need in these uncertain times. Now today, I'm focusing on the seventh and final dimension of praise the Psalms teach us about. We're considering the relationship between making music and praising God. More specifically, we're asking the question, what role does music play in praising God? Or put differently, how does music connect to praising God? If you were listening to contemporary Christian music back in the 80s or 90s, chances are you'll recall the name and music of Rich Mullins. Mullins was one of the most influential CCM artists at the time, due in large part to the phenomenal success of his song, Awesome God, the first single from his 1988 album, Winds of Heaven, Stuff of Earth. Awesome God is a song that celebrates the wisdom, love, and sovereignty of God over all things. It reached the number one spot on US Christian radio in the year of its release and is still a favorite in countless churches around the world up to the present day. However, even prior to writing Awesome God, Mullins wrote another song that many of us will also be familiar with, a song called Sing Your Praise to the Lord. Remember that? Recorded by CCM artist Amy Grant and featured on her 1982 album Age to Age, the song reached the number one spot on US Christian radio that year and helped establish Amy Grant as a major recording artist. Now, despite Mullins' great success as a singer and songwriter, he was a very humble person. He wasn't interested in the fame or glamour that came with success. In fact, he donated most of his earnings to charitable causes, only taking a small salary for himself each month to cover his basic living expenses. He also preferred spending time with people on the margins of society, not the rich and famous, sharing the good news of Jesus with everyone he encountered. Tragically, Mullins lost his life in an automobile accident in 1997 at the age of 41. In his biography of Rich Mullins, theologian James Bryan Smith tells the story of how Mullins attended a worship service in a barn just a few days before his death. The worship service was organized by a group of friends who simply wanted to get together to praise God through music. Everyone able to play an instrument, regardless of their skill level, everyone was invited to bring along their instruments and play along. Almost everyone who attended were not professional musicians. And when they started playing, the music sounded terrible. Apparently, even the worship leaders were singing out of tune. Mullins and one of his band members, Eric Hauck, were asked if they would be willing to lead this group for the rest of the evening. Now, just imagine the scene. One of the most talented, well-known Christian musicians on the planet at that time being asked to lead a group of musicians who couldn't even play in tune. How would Mullins respond? Well, both Mullins and Hauck agreed to lead them. And when he stepped up to the mic, Mullins had the following to say. I love to be in the church. I love to listen to people sing and play with their hearts. In my profession, we worry a lot about being in tune and sounding good. But this music is the music that is the most pleasing to God because it is so real and it comes from the hearts of the children of God. Rich Mullins understood a truth that the Psalms also emphasize. Music is one of the ways in which we can give praise to God. Several times throughout the Psalms, giving praise to God is linked to music. Music, both instrumental and vocal music, is highlighted as a way of praising God. One of the most important Hebrew terms in this regard is the verb zamar, which may be translated as sing praise or sing praises. As Bell points out, the well-known King James Version of the Bible translates zamar as sing praise or sing praises 25 times in the Psalms. The New Living Translation, which I often like to preach from, also translates zamar this way 16 times in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 7:17 declares, "I will thank the Lord because He is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." And Psalm 9 verse 2 remarks, "I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High." While Psalm 9:11 commands, "Sing praises to the Lord who reigns in Jerusalem. Tell the world about His unforgettable deeds." Furthermore, you may recall how we spoke about the Hebrew term yada earlier in the series, a term which means praise or thank. Several verses in the Psalms connect giving thanks or praise to God with the singing to the glory of God. For example, Psalm 57 verse 9 declares, "I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations." While Psalm 108 verse 3 says, "I will thank you, Lord, among all the people. I will sing your praises among the nations." A number of Psalms also speak of praising God with musical instruments, especially the harp and the lyre. For instance, Psalm 33:2 commands, "Praise the Lord with melodies on the lyre. Make music for him on the 10-stringed harp." Clearly, the Psalms invite us to give praise to God through both vocal and instrumental music. This emphasis on praising God through music and song is also echoed in the New Testament. Writing to the church in Colossae, Paul remarks, "Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts." And the book of James admonishes, "Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises." Moreover, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, highlights how singing forms part of heavenly worship. For example, in Revelation 14, John observes, "And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one could learn this song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth." Many of us will be able to identify with the wonderful way in which music helps us to praise God. Of course, we have the amazing privilege of singing praises to our Lord when we gather as His people. I've seen how people's lives have been transformed, radically transformed, by a hymn or song that touched them in a way that no sermon was able to do. The Holy Spirit can and does use music to bring us closer to God. When I think back over the course of my faith journey, some of my most life-changing moments with God have occurred while singing praises to God through music and song. Three of the Christian artists who played an immense role in shaping my faith as a young Christian were Michael W. Smith, Brent Bourgeois, and Carmen. I remember listening to their music as a teen and how it stirred me to deepen my relationship with Jesus Christ and to live my life to the glory of God. I remember how Carmen's album, Mission 316, filled me with such a sense of excitement about being a Christian. The album was filled with songs that called on followers of Jesus to go out into the world and make a difference in and through the name of Jesus. Sadly, Carmen recently passed away after complications during surgery to repair a hiatal hernia. But Carmen's passion for God will live on through the amazing music he created through the years. And he will no doubt continue to inspire many people to give praise to God. When you think back over the years, which artists and songs have helped you grow in your relationship with God? Is there a particular song or hymn that helped you through an extremely difficult time in your life? Is there a song that just instantly lifts your spirit when you're feeling down? Or maybe a piece of music through which you always become so intensely aware of the presence of God in your life? I want to encourage you to share those songs with us. If you're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, go ahead and post a YouTube or Vimeo link to a video of the song with the words hashtag songs of praise and hashtag my song. Share the music that has been an inspiration to you. As the Songs of Praise series draws to a close today, I want to remind you of the seven dimensions of praise we've explored in this series. We started the series by exploring the question, according to the book of Psalms, who should praise God? And as I pointed out in the first message, the Psalms command various groups of people to praise God. Israel is commanded to praise God. But not just Israel, the Psalms also emphasize that all nations are commanded to praise God. Yet the Psalms go even further by declaring that all of creation, both God's visible and invisible creation, should praise Him as well. But very importantly, the Psalms not only emphasize the collective praise of God, but ultimately challenges us to make worship individual, to make it personal. In the second message, we looked at the relationship between gratitude and praising God. And as I explained in that message, in the Psalms, the command to praise God and the command to give thanks to God are viewed as synonymous. Simply said, to thank God is to praise God. Moreover, the Psalms teach us that thanksgiving is a form of sacrifice to God. And giving thanks to God by offering your whole life to Him is probably the highest form of praise you can give to God. The Psalms invite us to think about all the things we have reason to be thankful for in our lives. Why? Because according to the theology of the Psalms, every reason for gratitude is also a reason for praising God. When you and I look closely at the circumstances of our lives, there's always something to be grateful for. There's always some reason to give thanks to God. There's always some reason to give praise to God. In the third message, I looked at the crucial question, does praising God come naturally? Or to put it another way, is there a natural inclination to praise God among human beings? Well, the Psalms make it clear that our natural inclination is not to praise the true God, but to rebel against Him. We need to be made spiritually alive. So how do we become spiritually alive? Something needs to happen inside of us. Something needs to happen in our spirit to bring us from the state of spiritual death in which we find ourselves to a place where the life-giving presence of God Himself is living inside of us. We need to be made new by the Holy Spirit. We need to have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. This is only possible once we put our faith in the good news of Jesus Christ. In the fourth message, I looked at the first major motivation for praising God as communicated in the Psalms. We are motivated to give praise to God as we reflect on His attributes, as we consider who God is. In other words, who God is, His various characteristics spur us on to praise God. When we really understand the awesomeness, the majesty, the greatness of the God we serve, we cannot help but give praise to Him. Once you realize you're living your life in the presence of this amazing God, the Holy Spirit brings a sense of awe and wonder into your heart that's difficult to put into words. In the fifth message, I considered the second major motivation for praising God as highlighted by the Psalms. We are motivated to give praise to God as we recognize the works of God. According to the Psalms, reflecting on the things God has done and the things He continues to do in your life will ultimately motivate you to praise Him. Numerous Psalms emphasize how God's works in our lives are reason for praise. As I pointed out, it's crucial we remember the fact that our God is a present tense God. He is a God who presently does miraculous things, not just back in the day, but today. He is still the God of wonders. In the sixth message, I discussed how part of praising God is sharing our testimony about the things He's done for us. The Psalms emphasize that part of praising God is sharing your story of faith with others. You need to communicate your praise of God to the people around you. You need to publicly praise God for the wonders He's done in your life. What story of God's miraculous work do you need to communicate to the people around you? Of course, as followers of Jesus, we know the most important story we need to share with people is the story of what God has done in and through the saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But still, how has this grace been made manifest in your life? What are the things for which you give Him praise? What wonders has God performed in your life? The Lord is calling you to share your testimony with the world around you. Finally, in today's message, the last message of the series, I highlighted how music is one of the ways in which we can give praise to God. Several times throughout the Psalms, giving praise to God is linked to music. Music, both instrumental and vocal music, is highlighted as a way of giving praise to the Lord our God. As I end this series, I want to remind you of something I said a number of times throughout the series. When times are tough, when the world around us seems chaotic, when everything seems uncertain, the only way to regain the proper perspective in our lives is to focus on praising God. As we praise Him, as we celebrate who He is, as we acknowledge His sovereignty over everything, we'll experience a sense of calm and peace that nothing in this world can ever take away from us. We'll experience the peace of God.
Real Christianity with Dr. Martin Retief. Thanks so much for listening today. Make sure to follow Dr. Martin Retief on Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. For more information on the ministry of Dr. Martin Retief, visit martinretief.com. May you experience the power and guidance of God, the Holy Spirit, in this day.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.